Welcome to the St. Ninian's Community Church Lent Podcast. Thank you for listening. It's Graham here again. Well, if you tuned in yesterday to our podcast, you'll know that we looked at a passage from Luke's Gospel, verses 40 to 56, that really covers two stories in one. And we looked at the first half yesterday, and today we'll look at the second part. But let me first of all read the passage to you again. Luke chapter 8, verses 40 to 56. On the other side of the lake, the crowds welcomed Jesus because they had been waiting for him. Then a man named Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come home with him. His only daughter, who was about 12 years old, was dying. As Jesus went with him, he was surrounded by the crowds. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding, and she could find no cure. Coming up behind Jesus, she touched the fringe of his robe. Immediately, the bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. Everyone denied it, and Peter said, "Master, this whole crowd is pressing up against you." But Jesus said, "Someone deliberately touched me, for I felt healing power go out from me." When the woman realized that she could not stay hidden, she began to tremble and fell to her knees in front of him. The whole crowd heard her explain why she had touched him and that she had been healed immediately. "Daughter," he said to her, "your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking to her, a messenger arrived from the house of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He told him, "Your daughter is dead. There's no use troubling the teacher now." But when Jesus heard what had happened, he said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith, and she will be healed." When they arrived at the house, Jesus wouldn't let anyone go in with him except Peter, John, James, and the little girl's father and mother. The house was filled with people weeping and wailing, but he said, "Stop the weeping. She isn't dead. She's only asleep." But the crowd laughed at him because they all knew she had died. Then Jesus took her by the hand and said in a loud voice, "My child, get up." And at that moment, her life returned, and she immediately stood up. Then Jesus told them to give her something to eat. Her parents were overwhelmed, but Jesus insisted that they not tell anyone what had happened. Well, the essence of this passage, I think, is really about Jairus and his daughter. But in the middle of that story, as Jesus is on his way to Jairus' house, he has this other encounter with this woman. A woman, we're told, who had been bleeding for 12 years. That, incidentally, was round about the similar age of Jairus' daughter. I think Luke is emphasising here for the entirety of this girl's life, this woman had been nursing this medical complaint. For 12 years, she had been putting up with this issue of blood, whatever that meant, but you can imagine just how weak she would have felt, how anemic she would have felt, how difficult it would have been to live with that sort of issue, how inconvenient and life-changing it would have been, that her whole life would have to have revolved to some extent around her managing her issues and her problem. And we're also told that she tried other solutions. She had tried other cures. She had done everything in her power to be able to find a way out of this problem. But it says there in verse 43, she could find no cure. In fact, one of the other gospel writers said she'd spent all her money trying to pay somebody to come and find a medicine and a cure for this problem, and nobody could. The other problem that the woman felt and experienced was, of course, within the culture she was living at that time, and a strictly religious culture, to be having this constant bleeding problem meant that she was continually unclean in the eyes of the community. And as somebody who was unclean, she really had to exclude herself. I suppose we can understand a lot of these things far clearer now that we've lived through something of COVID. She should have been self-isolating for these 12 years, cutting herself off and being in her own little bubble, lest she had something contagious that she infected everybody else with. And not only would she have to been self-isolating with the social problems that that brings in terms of loneliness and not being able to have contact and hug people and be part of day-to-day life, but there was also the part that involved her religious life too. Where, unlike today, where our churches are more or less all closed because of COVID, church life was continuing, synagogue was continuing, temple and feasts and celebration were continuing, but she was being told that she was unclean, unworthy, shouldn't be part of what was going on. And for 12 years, she was living this lonely, cut off, excluded existence. Until she hears Jesus is coming to town. And then she does something which really is rather shocking. She actually does two things that are shocking in this passage. Number one is she breaches the obligations on her to self-isolate. And going against the expectations and the law of the time, she stepped out of her house and into the village and into the community. And you would think in a village that was so small that perhaps there would have been some who would have recognized and thought, hey, shouldn't you be self-isolating? But maybe it speaks to the fact that she'd been doing this for 12 years, that so many people would have forgotten about her and barely recognized her and maybe never have known of her in the first place. That was the first thing she did that was quite shocking. The second thing she did was she reached out and touched a man, which again, in the cultural conditions of that time, that was a major taboo. But as soon as she touched even the hem of Jesus' garment, Jesus stops. And he turns around and says, "Who touched me?" And of course, Peter, after a few moments when nobody was admitting it, Peter saying, "Jesus, we're in a very crowded street here. There are tons of people here. We're all banging into each other. Tons of people are pressing against you and bumping into you. What are you talking about here? What are you getting so uptight about here?" And Jesus says something remarkable. He says, "No, somebody deliberately touched me because I felt power go out from me." And eventually the woman has to come and confess in front of all the crowds. She had to confess her medical history. She had to speak out about the shameful bleeding she'd experienced for all these years. She had to stand in front of the community and say, "Yeah, I should be self-isolating. And I'm sorry, folks, but I've just taken this reckless decision to put my trust in Jesus that he would heal me." And Jesus, in front of the whole crowd, turns to her and says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Go in shalom." A great word, shalom, peace, that talks about restoration inwardly with yourself and restoration in relationships with community, and restoration even with relationship with God. Shalom, that state where all is well with the world. What could this story perhaps say to us? I think it's really interesting that, as Peter said, Jesus was walking through this village on the way to Jairus' house. There were many following just for the nosy and to be part of what was going on, and maybe with their own issues and problems and requests for miracles and healings. And many were touching Jesus. But many of those who touched Jesus weren't healed. But this one woman was, because she came with a sense of urgency, a sense of desperation, and a sense of deliberately focusing on what she wanted from Jesus. And she got her miracle. And that challenges me. I don't know if that challenges you, but, you know, as someone who is about church a lot, who is part of worship a lot, who has my own times with Jesus a lot, I wonder to what extent sometimes I just hang about with them like one of the crowd, hoping maybe I'll see something and get a new glimpse of them, or see a little miracle here and there in people's lives. But I don't really always come with a real sense of either desperation or a real deliberate intention of, Jesus, I really need to connect with you right now. I really need to know your touch. I really need to know you in my life right now. You know, maybe all of us at some point or another have faced a situation in life where our prayer life, where it exists, sometimes I'm sure we can go periods where it's dry, but even when it exists, something happens in life that we just, you know, go up the gears, and all of a sudden we pray with a fervency and an urgency and a desperation. But at other times it can be, well, we just do the routine. How many people that day who needed miracles, who needed an encounter, who needed a touch, never got it because they were content enough just to be in the crowd and to be hanging out with Jesus? It was this woman who deliberately, with real intention, reached out looking for a miracle. And even when that involved going against the taboos of the time, and even when that involved herself in a degree of risk, she just needed to reach out and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Now, don't mishear what I'm saying here, because I don't want to be saying, as some speakers sometimes are guilty of saying, you know, if you have not had your miracle, and if you have not seen your healing or someone else's healing, it's because of your attitude and because you haven't been intentional enough or desperate enough. I'm not really saying that, because Jesus doesn't work within those rules of black and white. But I think nevertheless this woman challenges us to really, sometimes we can't always live in that place maybe, but sometimes to really say, Jesus, you know, as we gather for church this Sunday, Lord, I don't just want to hang about with you and go through the motions. I really want to give you my worship. You see, we don't just need to want something from Jesus. Maybe we just need to deliberately want to give him something. And Lord, we can say, do you know what? We can go through this church service, for example, using that as an illustration. We can go through this church service in neutral gear, going through the motions, lipping the songs, enjoying what we're hearing. Or we can come and say, Jesus, yeah, today I need to connect with you. Today, Lord, I really give you my worship. Today, I really want to be sincere about what I'm saying. Maybe that's what Jesus says when he says God is seeking worshippers who worship in spirit and who worship in truth. those who come with a real, deliberate intentionality to give of their love, to give their time, to give their worship, and to hear from God, and to be filled by His Spirit, and to feast on His Word, and to enjoy His presence. But the other thing about this woman is, well, maybe she never had the opportunity to go to Jesus beforehand, but she took 12 years to do it. She struggled on for 12 years. She looked for other cures. She looked for other solutions. She looked for other ways out. We're not going to blame her for that, as we say, because maybe this is the first time Jesus had come to town and she had no other choice. But you and I do. So often we can be running round the houses and solutionising and fixing our own problems and medicating in our own way and doing a whole range of things to avoid our issues or deal with our issues or manage our issues or goodness knows what else. And Jesus is saying, how long are you going to keep doing this before you're just going to come and get it dealt with? How long are you going to keep doing this before you really come with your guilt and your shame and really just lay it down at my feet and confess what's going on? How long are you going to try and solve these other issues in your life before you actually just come and talk them through with me? Maybe there are things in our life today where Jesus is inviting us. He didn't invite this woman, she just ploughed her way through. But maybe Jesus is inviting us to say, look, you've been carrying things for years. Hurts, wounds, guilt, shame, fear, things from the past. How long are you going to keep doing this? Why don't you come with that sense of deliberate intentionality into my presence and just pour out these things before me and lay them down and allow me to heal and to minister grace and to surround you with love. And yeah, it might be painful at first, but let me just peel back the wounds that I can administer my ointment and my healing. God wants us all to have shalom. Shalom, where we feel at one with ourselves, where we feel at one with those round about us in restored relationships, where we feel at one with God and reconnected to Him. Jesus wants to give us all shalom, even today. Will we come, like this woman, and reach out and touch the hem of His garment and give Him our worship and our love? Let's pray together. Father, help us to learn from the example of this woman. That's why you tell us these stories and you give us these stories in your word. To speak encouragement that even when we carry things for 12 years, even when we carry shame for 12 years, loneliness for 12 years, hearts and problems for 12 years, even when we've looked at every other solution and gone down every other alley before we come to you, Lord, it's never too late. And maybe sometimes, Lord, we have to carry things for so long before we actually get desperate and we get urgent. But Father, we pray that where there are things in our life that we need to be coming with a new seriousness about, would you just fan that into flame? And would you give us that sense of desire to reach out and touch you? Would you give us that sense of desire to seek your encounter and your presence and your miracle and a whole range of issues in our life? Would you give us that desire, Lord, that we're going to push past the obstacles and even go against the taboos just so that we have one moment where we feel that we've connected with you? And maybe not just be like the other crowd who are close to you, who are following you, who are hanging about with you, but never actually have an encounter. Lord, just one touch of the hem of your garment we're changed forever. Just one touch from the Master's hands and we are never the same again. This Lent period, Lord, build up our desperation. Build up our sense of desire and hunger. Build up our desire, Lord, just to know Jesus and to be with him now and always. Bless everyone who's listening. May you bless them with shalom. In Jesus' name we pray.